KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Good evening. My name is Ruchama Bistritsky-Klantman, and we are going to be on for the next 12 weeks on the Zev Brenner Show from 9 to 10 every Thursday night. We are going to be talking about family matters. I'm the founder and executive director of MASC. MASC is Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. And I started the organization 20 years ago, and we do in-school programs. We have a helpline. We're a referral agency. We offer support groups for parents to help their family members, whether they're struggling with drugs and alcohol, molestation, or even bullying or an eating disorder. We can help you by calling our helpline, which is 718-758-0400. MASC's helpline is open every day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We're a confidential helpline, and we're here to get the guidance and the help from professionals that you may need to access. We can help you with that. So call anonymously, call and describe whatever your issue may be with your loved one, or yourself, or your spouse, or a child, whomever that may be, and we can then help you with the referrals in whatever area, mental health, family matters that you may be facing. And we're here to help you find that right person or right program, whatever it may be, that you may need. Today, we're lucky enough to be able to have with us Rebbetzin Bassi Rosenblatt, LCSW, licensed social worker, and she is with us. She has been with MASC for the last 15 years doing programs. Bassi has been amazing. She's been so available to the Klal, to families, to parents. She has a private practice. We will give out her number at the end. But in general, she supervises interns. She does staff programs in school, in camps, upstate New York, has run many programs that we are going to discuss with Bassi on the air on our new radio show, Family Matters. Bassi, welcome. Thank you for joining us on our first radio show tonight for MASC.
Hi, Ruchama. It's my pleasure to be here. Hi, everybody.
So, Bassi, I really wanted to talk about, when I started MASC 20 years ago, was for drugs and alcohol, and I sort of unwound it back to prevention over the years. So I really want to first talk about, before we speak about the prevention and what parents and family members can do, I would like to just address the different programs that you've done over the years for MASC. So do you want
to... Ruchama, before I do that, I'd like to go back to the beginning of MASC, the inception of MASC, at least the part that I came on at. And when Ruchama called me originally, so I think those of us in the field had scant ideas, slight knowledge of what was happening with our youth, with the children. We were used to the regular treatment issues, but suddenly there was something new happening that Ruchama was addressing. And although I was a little bit familiar with it, I can't say that we were very much schooled in it and very much familiar with it. And what Ruchama was addressing was a relatively new phenomenon at the time, which was kids at risk. And we kind of thought it was just the same old kids at risk that we were when we were in high school, and we didn't realize that there was something else happening. There was a different pulse. There was something else that needed to be addressed. And Ruchama and somebody else that she knew,
my staff,
her staff and some other people had put together a meeting. And at that time, my husband, Shul, on East 15th and Avenue N, had a simcha room downstairs. And we hosted the first meeting for MASC, which was relatively new. People had never heard of MASC. And it's interesting because when Rahama referenced MASC, she talked about mothers and fathers aligned for saving kids. But I think there's something also deeper behind MASC, the name MASC, and that is being able to take off your mask and present yourself different than what your mask is.
Yes, Bassi, thank you for reminding me of those days 20 years ago when I called you and had an emergency meeting. We had over 152 people showed up, and Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald, Olav Shalom, was our...
Zecher Tzadik Livracha.
Amen, yes. Was our guest speaker that night. And I just wanted also point out we had 27 mothers that showed up that night that were willing to share with 152 people what their issues were. Interesting, I named it MASC. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary, February 12th. We had an amazing event. We want to thank Bison and Bourbon, the new restaurant in Brooklyn, who hosted us at our 20th anniversary party. We also had the guest speaker, Bassi, remember, was First Lady Shirlane McRae de Blasio, the mayor's wife, who came and shared her personal story. And that's what I was just wanting to comment on, is about, I named it MASC. It was before Purim, and it was about taking off our mask and the mask of denial in the community at that time.
Right. So after that, it was something that was becoming a little more familiar to people, and people were suddenly beginning to speak about it. Rahama had hosted her first meeting, and people were more willing to share about this topic. I was never an employee directly at MASC. I never worked in their office, but I always observed from the outside looking in, and must say that although there are many organizations who try to address different things and are really quite successful at the things they do, Rahama and her team have always been on the cutting edge and on the forefront of addressing our children, our families, and trying to help us navigate a way through something that's so impossible for parents. They just had no idea what to do. And suddenly their hotline was ringing off the hook. Suddenly people were calling their offices. Suddenly everybody knew somebody who they wanted to refer. So all of a sudden there was an address for people to be able to call. And this is something that's very, very dear to me. My father, his name was Mike Tress, and he gave up everything to save people. And when I think about Rahama, I think that she, in her own way, gave up whatever else she was doing and saw this as something necessary and dedicated her life to doing something that would save families from our own little personal Holocaust that we were experiencing within our community.
Over the years of
20 years, the numbers I believe are 45,000 people. 45,000, that is a lot of people have called to get advice, get referrals, get help, reach out, get some kind of group, join programs. In some way, MASC has been instrumental in helping these people. And there's one more thing I'd like to add to this. And that is that even though the number is 45,000, which to me is monumental, those 45,000 people have each spoken to probably 45,000 people. So we can look at it as close to 100,000 people who have been directly affected by MASC and the good work that they've done. There are families. There are just so many people who have been saved, excuse me, and helped by this organization. And, I'm not running an infomercial here at all. I'm telling you what I see clinically and observing both from the front lines as a Rebbetzin, as a parent, as a person who was communally involved.
As a therapist,
and just on so many different levels. This was something that had to be created. because the time called for it. The times called for it. And it wasn't something that we needed 40 years ago and 50 years ago. But today, when there are so many things that we're facing, you know, a lot of problematic issues in families. And because of that, children are finding ways, different ways to find comfort outside of their family, which can often be very detrimental to them. You know, I can only say that our call needs mask today. You know, it's not a question about it. So this is something that, like I said, there are so many people who have tried to address this on different angles, and we need all of them. I'm here speaking for Mask, and I can tell you some of the things that Mask has been really successful at. I'd like to talk about some of the programs that I've been involved in, directly and indirectly. Mask every year has some students that are at Wurzweiler, and I believe it's Wurzweiler. There were some years that there were other students as well.
LIU, Turo, over the years.
Yeah, I think NYU at one point.
Right.
And these students come in and they get placed in schools, in community centers, places that they can reach our children. And they need supervision because they are students after all. And so we do try to train them. And many of them stay in the field and have been quite successful going into their own practices and reaching out to people who are in need in all different communities. We're not limited to Borough Park. We're not limited to Flatbush. We go into Crown Heights. We go into Williamsburg, the five towns, upstate New York. During the summer, there are programs in Woodburn, in different parts of the mountains. In Eretz Yisrael, there are Europe. There are so many different places that Mask reaches. You just would not believe it. It's just happening everywhere. And, you know, unfortunately, there are people in different places who need to be able to reach out to Mask. So in addition to educating our students, we've also run groups for parents, support groups, educational groups. There are ongoing groups at this time. Rahama will elaborate on the types of groups that there are for people who are beginning the process, people who are a little more entrenched in the process. There are support groups for parents. There are hotlines. There are warm lines. I, at one point, was manning a line just for teachers, if you remember Rahama.
And
yes. They were calling in because teachers are on the front lines as well. They see something in school, and they'd like to know, how do I handle this? So there was a number for them to call. We have had lectures.
You had group upstate New York.
Groups upstate New York. We had
been in camp. You've
in
done
camps,
the programs in the camp for the staff.
Incredible places that Mask has reached. Groups for parents, planning summers with different staff members from different places. Then there was also crisis intervention. You know, it's not only prevention. When there is a crisis, not everybody says, I'm prepared for this. Sometimes you're just unprepared. So there's a number to call, and there was Rahama and her team able to reach out to different people. Of course, Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald was very involved, always willing to not only help but go down himself and see what he could do, just above and beyond his dedication to our children and the families of these children. So those are some of the things that have been happening and ongoing, continue to happen. And I can tell you at this 20th anniversary that they recently had a set of parents got up and spoke about, they were, I think it was pre-taped on a video, and they got up and spoke about how Mask had helped them and guided them. And this was just one family, and how Baruch Hashem, they have so much nachas from that child today, who is in a very healthy and good place, bringing them a lot of wonderful nachas. And what Mask has done is it has helped people through thick and thin, not only when it's good, when it's difficult, and holding their hand through some really, really tough times. So for those of us who are affiliated with Mask, I can say that I try to make myself available to Rahama whenever she needs anything, because I know that the work she's doing is selfless, and she's dedicated to a cause greater than all of us. And I know that Rahama is, this is her life. So, Ruchama, on that happy note.
Well. Thank you, Basi, that you have done so much over the years for Mass that I don't know how we could ever repay you. God should repay you with his richest blessings always.
Amen.
I do want to, like, elaborate a little bit about Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. So I'm going to share with everyone that on May the 7th, God willing, there will be a training from Nefesh International, co-sponsored with several organizations, including MASC, and that will be in Staten Island, and that is a training in his memory on empathy and acceptance, and there are CEU credits that are going to be available. All therapists are welcome to register online by Nefesh. I'm a board member for Nefesh International. And just to let you know, Nefesh is an agency that has over 800 from therapists. And they do ongoing trainings. We have a conference in December. And MASC has a big presence there as well. There's no one therapist for everybody. We really are we customize all our referrals based on the client's needs. Everything is confidential. We work with your insurance. We work with whether you want to go private pay, in your neighborhood, out of your neighborhood. So people should just really, when they're faced with any issues that they're not sure how to handle, they're welcome to call my helpline, MASC's helpline, again, 718-758-0400. And please tell us you heard us on the Family Matters show on the Zev Brenner Talk Line Communications. So we know you're out there listening and that we're helping you. Fussy, you mentioned the in-school programs. Can you describe... we're going to have Racheli call in, and she's going to call in a few minutes. And she is actually was a Wurzweiler student who came to MASC, interned all year, was supervised, did amazing work in several schools, and went on to get a job by one of the community agencies. She's a star there, and she has supervision, which is always recommended to any and every therapist. It's okay for a parent when they're calling to make an appointment with the therapist to say, who is your supervisor? Are you in supervision? It's important because you want to make sure that they have ongoing supervision so that they're always upgrading their education in one way or another to be able to give the client, whoever that may be, the best possible advice. So it's not just one person giving their opinion, but it's actually a group of supervision people that come together, therapists, and that's always, you want to elaborate on that?
I just would like to add one little piece to that, and that is that for many children, the therapist that they see in school is often their first contact with a therapist. There are some families who would never think of it. There are some families who can't afford it, and they think, oh, therapy is something that's just not within our reach. So the person who goes into a school wears many different hats because although they're a school therapist, they're also the person that a child will rely on for a full year when they may not have any other contact to a therapist, and that may be their introduction and their beginning of something very helpful and very good in their family and for themselves. So the school therapist is an integral part of what MASC does. They place their students, these interns, into schools who are closely supervised by their supervisor. At times it has been myself. I think they've had sometimes supervision from within the school that they're in, and then I might oversee that. But there is always very close supervision for MASC, and that reaches into different parts because although the therapist is working directly with the child, the family will often reach out to MASC because they know that this therapist is sponsored by MASC and coming in through their organization. So that's a very important thing, and MASC has reached hundreds and hundreds of children through their organization and gone into schools who sometimes don't even have a therapist. Today, I think more of the schools do have right. some therapists. I think they do. But when Mass started, some of the schools was just the only crack, the only chance that they had at having a therapist. So that was a very important piece. And
right, but you also did some staff training.
Did some staff trainings. Another interesting thing is that the students who have been at MASC have been trained as a group as well. So it's not an isolated kind of a training for them. They learn along with the other students, and that's really, really good. You know, I'd like to share a little story with you. This goes back many, many years ago. There was an intern who was working for MASC and not really very experienced and not very capable at that point. And was in MASC and started to see some of the cases that were happening. And although they were not pleased with the placement that they were in, she started to take this much more seriously when she saw how seriously everybody at MASC takes it. At the beginning, she was kind of like, oh, why do I have to do this? I'm not really sure about this. And she came in here one day and she said, you know, I see how dedicated all of you are to this cause. And I think I really need to change my thinking about this. And I think it was a turning point for her in her work and in her idea about the work she did, because I don't think she really understood what all of this was about. So when she saw the dedication and the seriousness with which all of this was dealt with, I think it was something that made a very big impact on her. And everything is dealt with very seriously. And I also have to talk about the confidentiality of every single case that goes into MASC. They're numbered. People don't have names. They're given identities in a way that are not able to be seen by anybody, including myself. If I would walk in there, people are assigned different letters, different numbers, alphabetized, not alphabetized. There are no duplicates of anything. Everything is very carefully organized and easily accessible if they need to. They know the system. I don't. But it's something that is very carefully guarded and very much respected. And I think that's an important thing. I teach social work students. And one of the things that I focus on so much is the confidentiality piece of it. And sometimes I'll hear somebody say, oh, I just walked over to the file in an agency and I can access this and that. And I'll say to them, you know, that's really not okay. I said, you need to be sure that in your agency, you cannot just walk over to any kind of a file cabinet and open up a random file. So one of the things that I've observed at MASC is their commitment to confidentiality. And even though everything is numbered and lettered in some kind of foreign code that I don't think anybody can break, not even Julian Assange, I think that it's WikiLeaks can't get into it. They even have a lock on it, on every cabinet, a lock on the door, and they're very, very protective of every single person and very respectful to every person who calls. So that's, again, just my observation. And in this field that I'm in, we value confidentiality above all else. Of course, the relationship is so important, and the relationship that MASC has with the people who call in, they are, every person there is treated with the utmost respect. And it's not only because every person calling in a very pained position. People are not calling up to tell Rahama, hey, by the way, everything's great, so we're calling you at MASC.
They call up to report good things.
Good,
yes.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. But their initial call is generally right. for something that's painful. And everybody is dealt with so compassionately and so wonderfully and so equitably. And people walk away feeling like they've been heard and they've been listened to and that they have an address that they can call in and they can reach. And I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the issues that MASC deals with. Their big deal is prevention. And, you know, once I get to see a patient, myself and my practice, I'm beyond prevention. You know, it's already happened. They're coming into me when something has already hit the fan. When Rahama gets the phone call, it's pretty much that too, but what they're trying to do is get there before people have to make the phone call, and they're trying to get into school so that they can help parents recognize that there could be issues with learning disabilities. There could be issues with bullying in school. They could be exposed to eating disorders. They could be exposed to all kinds of different things, family issues. Unfortunately, today, you know, these are terms that we use a little more freely, but some members of our community report increasingly behaviors that are inappropriate. People have been inappropriately touched, and, you know, we unfortunately have to deal with all of these issues today. So what we try to do is go into the schools, go have programs for parents where we can talk about prevention. So I think you might ask, how do you prevent any of that from happening? So I think it's education. A lot of it is education, educating parents. Who are the children who end up in the streets? Who are the kids who are choosing something other than what we would like them to? And while this is a broad, broad topic and certainly not answerable in a 20-minute discussion, we want to start educating our children as young as possible. As young as possible that they need to be able to set boundaries about protecting themselves, recognizing learning disabilities, recognizing if a child is bullied, even for teachers. Sometimes teachers are not aware of it, you know, what's going on and how we need to be able to reach these children, and what to do once they see it. What happens when that happens? Mental illness is another very strong component as well. Of course, that's, you know, foremost in the way I think is what is going on for this person that they're experiencing this difficulty. So I think that they've tackled and gone into almost an uncharted territory. By now it's well trodden, but when they walked into this, nobody was walking there, and they continue today to talk about prevention. And once that prevention piece, they feel like they have that, they also deal not only with prevention. That's the one part of it. The other part of it is the piece where they deal with it. What happens when something has actually happened?
Right. Thank you, Basi, very much for that. So just to elaborate on some of the things that you spoke about, I wanted to mention our group. The parent group, Dr. Tricia Tia, runs groups Tuesday nights in Flatbush. Sarah Kahan runs groups Sunday night. Dr. Bencion Twersky runs groups Wednesday night.
I would just like to comment that every one of these people who Rahama just mentioned, Dr. Tricia Tia, Bencion Twersky, and Sarah Kahan, these are all wonderful, wonderful therapists. I know Trish, she's a star. She's a superstar. I've known Bencion for years, and he offers parents the kind of support that they need when they're going through something very difficult, and focuses a lot on self-care and being able to maintain yourself while you're going through something very difficult. And Sarah talks about direct parenting, how to parent these children. How do you deal with the family? What do you do when something is presented in your family, and what happens then? What does somebody do? So these are ongoing groups in Flatbush, which is...
Right, and also in addition is we have mental health group parents whose kids are totally mental health issues, and those groups are once a month, and we have a special speaker each month. Anyone can call to register to any of our groups at the MASC number. Again, that's 718-758-0400, and we answer from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it's very, very important for all the listeners to know that MASC collaborates with all the FRM agencies and non-FRM agencies out there to get the best treatment possible available for whatever it is they may be going through, the caller. So, you know, let's touch a little bit on drugs and alcohol before Racheli calls in from the school. And that is that MASC, when I started it, really was about drugs and alcohol. And you know,
Rahama was trying to see how she could get more drugs and more alcohol.
Yeah, myself, right? Maybe I need. The only thing is I'm allergic to alcohol and I don't do drugs. But in any case, We are a naloxone approved distributor and trainer. And naloxone is like Narcan, which is for drug overdose prevention. We train parents, community members, teachers, rabbis to use the naloxone, which is in an inhaler form. So it's just like, it looks like an injection, but it doesn't have the needle, and it has a little nose inhaler on top of the injection on the needle part, and you administer it through the nose, and you must call 911 before, Hot Sola before, and we will explain and train any parent, any rabbi for their synagogue, any school, any teacher, any principal, administrative, any organization that wants to get trained and get a free naloxone, you're welcome to call MASC. Again, 718-758-0400. And I'm just letting you know that we document, we get phone calls from people that use the naloxone to save their loved one that they may find that overdosed, and they see that they're not breathing or whatever. And we have, to date, since we started distributing naloxone, which was in the beginning of the school year, there are three people that called in that said they saved their child by having the naloxone available in their home. And these three young adults have gone into rehab and are getting healthy today. So anybody can get naloxone. You can also get it at your local drugstore with your insurance, and it's free there with your insurance. Or you can call MASC and make an appointment to come and get your free kit and your training anytime during business hours. 9 to 5, we're available. If you want us to do it for a group or for a school training or for your synagogue or for your agency, you're welcome to call MASC, and we do it any day till 10 at night. We have staff available, Sundays included, where we can train your staff and your agencies for naloxone. Naloxone is, we got to thank the mayor, Mayor de Blasio, and the First Lady Shalane McRae for pushing the availability of having the naloxone. Governor Cuomo has an opiate overdose task force now. The president is talking about opiate overdose task force because the opiates, the kids are overdosing. There are so many kids that died that have not been a MASC client, but that I know have died from the communities at large that have been overdosing on opiates. I would just like to also mention that there is a United Task Force where we have 35 agencies that get together every 6-8 weeks, and we do programs with other organizations. And we want to thank them for doing the Rebbetzin's Conference. Bossy, you've attended that.
Of course.
Right? Where we will be having 125 Rebbetzins, rabbis, wives, Rebbetzins, that are going to be coming in May to a program. You can call the MASC hotline, and we'll be happy to give you the information for that. And we talk about different issues every year from the United Task Force, where we collaborate many organizations together to talk about different issues so that we offer it to the rabbis' wives so that they also are educated in what's going on in the community. Bossy,
I've attended the Rebbetzin's Conference several times and haven't been there in the last year or two, but I will say that it's always a very timely topic that they choose, and they're very well prepared, and usually bring in somebody who has experienced the topic that they're speaking about, whether it's postpartum depression. I've been at one of those meetings. One was on anxiety disorders. So these are always things that the are on the front lines in the community, and Rebbetzins are on the front lines as well. And I think one of the things that they're going to be addressing in the near future is the advent and the increased use of drugs, unfortunately, in our...
In general, all the agencies.
Drugs. A lot of people have to address this, you know, whether we like this topic or not. It's something that is hitting us and something that we're faced with.
Right, Bessie. You know that on May the 5th, Mitzshem and 6th, MASC is having, co-sponsored with SAFE. SAFE is an outpatient drug agency where parents and addicts can go for treatment, and they're a clinic. And we are having on May 5th and 6th a Shabbaton where we're offering parents to come to Voretsky's school, which is on Avenue L, corner Coney Island Avenue. And we are going to be having Friday night dinner, Shabbos day lunch, and Shalosh Sudot in the afternoon. We're going to be having all the meals. We're going to do all the davening together. We're going to be having a guest speaker at every meal, another guest speaker. And we will have a workshop as well, all just to give offer to parents, chizuk. And we'll be a lot of zmiros, a lot of singing. We're making this available to parents who are dealing with a struggling family member. Doesn't matter what age. Doesn't have to be elementary age. Doesn't have to be high school. You could have a married child. Could be your spouse. We want to come and just enjoy Shabbos together. If you need a place to stay, we can hopefully make arrangements for you. If you register on the MASC helpline, any parent needs to register by calling MASC for more information.
The part that Rechama didn't tell you is she's doing all the cooking for the weekend.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, right.
She's going to be making
right.
all
then
the food.
I'll need a lot of alcohol and drugs. No, I don't think so. It's all going to be catered. It's advertised in all the papers. It will be advertised after Pesach again. And, we will be advertising in many different ways to reach as many parents. We already, before we started advertising, this is our first advertisement tonight, we already have almost, I think it was 89 parents registered. So there is a need. And every parent, Basi, that called was so interesting. If I answered the phone and they said they wanted to register, they said, thank you for doing this. It's so long overdue. Mm-hmm. And parents really want to sit with other parents. They want to sing with other parents. They want to share with other parents. It's not to learn new techniques. It's not to discuss your problem. It's simply to enjoy being with other people that are going through issues, different ones, whether it's a small issue or a big issue, whether it's bullying, whether it's eating disorders, molestation, a very big issue today. Suicides are as a result of molestation. So we're recommending, the reason we're doing this show is for awareness, for prevention. Prevention works.
There's also going to be, from what I heard from Rechama, there's going to be a separate program for women as well at some point.
Yes,
men. Just for mothers and just for fathers.
Right.
You know, and sometimes people just need their own venue, their own forum in which to speak. And I think also one of the wonderful things about this as well is that after the weekend is over, a lot of these friendships will be formed and people will have a new kind of support system in their life. And they take the Shabbos with them long after the Shabbos. They have new phone numbers, they'll have new people that they've met, and they can exchange just their lives with. And, you know, it's people who are going through this that can understand this better. So when people have that kind of support system, that's invaluable. So I think, Rechama, you're doing a wonderful service for the community by offering this kind of a Shabbos. What is the cost of this, by the way?
The cost is, it is for parents who are struggling with a family member, either have gone through it or going through it, and $25 registration fee per person for the entire weekend, with a grant from Oasis and from SAFE. We want to thank Ike Dweck, his wonderful, talented, very well-supervised team at SAFE. And they will be at the Shabbaton as well. So we would like to mention a very, very, you know, wonderful thank you to you, Ike. And I'd also like to just welcome on our show this evening, I'd like to introduce Racheli. Racheli, are you with us?
I am, Ruchama. Hi.
Hi. So, Racheli, I told the audience that you were an intern at MASC for a year, and you were in schools, and I just wanted you to share with us your experience going into the schools and what you saw, and how now being a therapist and working for an agency, how you see the parents and the kids differently than you did when you just graduated Wurzweiler.
Okay, thanks, Ruchama. Before I actually talk about my experience working in a school as an intern, I do want to talk about Ruchama a little bit.
Well, it's not my birthday.
I know. Just for a second, I just want to say that when you picture an interning experience, you picture a boss asking you to make a cup of coffee all day long, and that was not my experience. I had a wonderful experience at MASC. Ruchama treated all interns as, you know, as professionals, and it just helped me grow as the professional that I am today. So when I began to intern at MASC, I remember I asked Ruchama what school I'd be interning in. She told me, Racheli, you tell me what school you want to work in and I'll make it happen, which was really wonderful and so flexible. And when I worked in a school, I had a great support system at MASC between Ruchama, Victor and Esther and everybody else. What I learned when I was interning in a school was I created a beautiful therapeutic alliance with the girls. I learned about things like if it's bullying, if it's the parent teacher relationship, if it's, you know, if it's the relationship between the girls and the other social workers. I learned to really see each child as a full system, as a body, as a family, and everything like that. And once I left Wurzweiler and I graduated, I was able to see children in a very, very different light. They're really different little humans that you can build from a very young age into wonderful adults. And with the support of Ruchama, I was able to kind of learn how to navigate their world in a very gentle, kind way and really become a professional.
Racheli, hi, it's Vassie Rosenblatt on the line here as well. I'd just like to add one thing to what you said, and that is that I mentioned this before, that very often the intern that goes into the school is the first person who this child is ever going to see. And the role that you play in that child's life is so important. The students don't even know how important they are. And when they come into that school, they're facing a child, a family, somebody who needs them in a way that they never has been addressed. So I think, Racheli, when you were interning, and I know from the other interns who were there, you're reaching children who, this is their first foray into this world of therapy. So that's really important and very, very significant.
Well, there was a time when I started MASC that I went to some schools and they said, like, whether it was, we don't have these problems here 20 years ago. And some said, we do not take anybody that studied there in social work school, you know, from the very right to the very modern, that said, we don't have problems here. Today, it's not like that. We get letters and calls all the time. We have a pile of requests sitting on our desks, waiting to do programs there that we need to do, more and more staff. We can't do it quick enough for the schools that are now all on board. So when I meet people in the street and they go, oh, well, the yeshivas wouldn't let anyone in, I correct them. I tell them that's not true. 20 years ago, you could have had that, you know, complaint that less, you know, not many yeshivas were allowing people to come in and do some prevention work or intervention work. Not today. Today, schools are begging, they're pleading for more help to be done in their programs. So we're very lucky that the door is open, our mask is off, our mask of denial, our mask as a community, and the community at large is working with all these issues. Do you remember any story maybe of one of the clients, of course, confidentiality, no names, et cetera, as you were trained by MASC and Wurzweiler and your own training? Would you want to share with us anything that about a case and how it worked out for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to try to think. There are so many stories that strike me as so important. But you know what? I'll take a typical but not so typical story of a wonderful little girl. I'm going to change some of the details, but let's say she was about 10 years old. She came from a very tough home. One of the parents was struggling emotionally, and like Bassi was saying, she had never seen a therapist before, and here I come in as an intern, and you know, she's a fresh new start for me, and all I want to do is really help this child grow. And she came in, and she was really too smart for her age. She couldn't handle being inside her own skin. And with Ruchama's help and supervision and Wurzweiler and all of that, what I did was I slowly helped her understand that even though she's exceptionally smart, she can be okay with being average. And that's just a beautiful way to be a child. And we worked on helping her that despite the fact that she's very smart, she can really learn how to socially interact with the girls. I played with her. We spoke, we even went on walks. I communicated with the mother when she was functioning well. And really, like, I think at the end of the year when I saw this girl, I almost didn't recognize her. She was doing so well. And I know this is a typical story, but really the typical stories are beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Racheli. I know it's Erev Pesach and you're busy. Thank you for calling in. Also, sure. I want to thank Rabbi Tomasi Rosenblatt, LCSW. Thank you for always being there for the Klal, always being there for MASC. Thank you for supervising, for speaking to parents, for doing whatever need be to help the Klal. Like you said, that's what you learned at home from your father, Olav Shalom.
And my mother.
And your mother. Your whole family really does. And Bassi's number, she has a private practice, 718-541-0822. And just so that I give you a little bit roundup here, is remember May 5th and 6th, if you know anyone that could use some chizuk, strength, to come, join, sing, laugh, May 5th and 6th at Voretzky Yeshiva. We are going to be doing a Shabbaton for parents. It could be they have a kid that's doing wonderful today, married with 6 kids, Kanahara, but they want to give back. So someone out there, listeners, that may have gone through dealing with any mental health at-risk situation and you want to give back, come join us. Come help other parents that are struggling. Call MASC, our helpline, 20 years, the same number, 718-758-0400. We want to thank OMH, UICD, OASIS, Department of Health and Mental Hygiene for making naloxone available to us. We want to thank the Zev Brenner Show, talklinecommunications.com. You can get us online. You can get us on 620 AM. And we're here to talk about family matters. So now we're very lucky to have Erev Pesach, Jay Buxbaum from Kedem. Hey, welcome, Jay.
How are you, Ruchama?
I'm doing great. Want to go home and get ready for Pesach. How are you? Is all the wine delivered?
Great.
Great.
Yeah, we got the whole family this year.
Uh-huh, great. Good for you. My love to Brenda. Listen, you know, some people ask me, Jay, you know, why does Kerem do the mask ad for Purim about, you know, prevention message? So I said, because wine is not going away and not everybody is an addict. And it's about awareness of underage drinking, et cetera. Do you want to elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, you know, we've done this together, Erev Purim and Erev Simchas Torah, but it's really important to know that that just last night I did a tasting and someone said to me, "Oh, don't worry, I don't get drunk. I drink the light wine." But there's something called equivalency, which means that you can drink a wine that's 5% like Moscato, but if you drink 3 glasses of it or a bottle of it, it's the same like drinking 1 or 2 glasses of 12% wine. So, you know, don't think that just because you're drinking different alcohol levels, etc. Alcohol is alcohol, and it's not a joke. You really have to be careful. We believe, as a company and as a family, the Herzog family, and certainly my family, the Books family, we believe that, sensible drinking is the right kind of drinking, and we'll serve the wine business well, but more importantly, we'll serve the community well.
Right, Jay. You know, it's really interesting because many years ago, I remember going to my shul, walking by my shul one Shabbos late in the day, and through the windows, we saw a boy laying on the floor in the shul, out cold. We thought he was sleeping. Meanwhile, what happened was we went inside and we found him. He said later on, after, of course, Hatzalah took him in to the hospital and then we got him into detox, he said that he would always go to his different shuls in the community when he heard there was a Kiddush, Shabbos, something going on in the shul. And he knew that when everybody went home, there was unattended liquor left over. And that's when him and his friends would have parties and drink while we all went home to have our lunch meal or dinner meal. So it's really important that we let people know that they're responsible for the liquor they're serving and that they need to be sure that it is locked up properly and no home is safe for underage drinking.
Absolutely correct. No home is safe. I have to tell you, I won't name the shul but I know some shuls, one shul in particular, that is a, quote, alcohol-free shul, but they have Kiddush wine, you know. It's not okay. Alcohol is alcohol. It's really alcohol. Don't think, you know, if a kid is is an addict or someone wants that alcohol, they'll drink Kiddush wine as much as they'll drink scotch, as much as they'll drink beer, as much as they'll drink any other kind of wine or alcoholic beverage. So you're right. No place is safe. Just because it's Kiddush wine doesn't all of a sudden make it safe as an alcoholic beverage. You have to be careful. You have to do it correctly. And you have to, you know, make sure that underage drinking does not occur wherever you are.
I want to thank Jay. I want to thank Kerem. I want to thank you always partnering with MASK before Purim. And this year, Assemblyman Dov Hyken and Councilman Chaim Deitch and Councilman David Greenfield all participated in signs being hung up in the liquor stores in Flatbush, in Borough Park, and in Crown Heights, other liquor stores that said no home is safe for underage drinking. So I want to thank them, and I want to thank OASIS and Department of Health and Mental Hygiene for making us able to get that message out there for the community to recognize. I remember we once had a client, the mother called up and said her 12-year-old son needs to go in for inpatient for alcohol abuse. And I said, how did your son at 12 become an alcoholic? She said, we always had wine on the fridge left over from Shabbos. and we serve water during the week, no soda. So my son liked the taste of it. And I always thought it was my cleaning lady or my friends or people that came over, adults. I never knew that it was my son, the lady said, that drank the wine on the fridge door. So it's a real serious issue that we need to remember. It's Pesach, and there's going to be a lot of wine going around, the four cups, and everybody needs to watch that alcohol, make sure it's put away in a safe place so nobody uses it and abuses it in any way possible. Jay?
You didn't cover one very important aspect, forgetting about alcohol or drugs or whatever, and that is you. Ruchama, people, the reason why mask is called mask is because we've got to remove the mask. You've got to know that whether it's alcohol abuse, drug abuse, sexual abuse, bullying abuse, all those things, mask is there for you and your families. And Ruchama, you've got to give people the number again.
Right. 718.
Give us some statistics. How many people did you have? How many families have you helped? And first give the numbers, yeah.
So our number is 718-758-0400, confidential helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Anyone wants to email me privately, Ruchama, R-U-C-H-A-M-A, at maskparents, M-A-S-K, parents, P-A-R-E-N-T-S, .org. Feel free to reach out, whether it's by phone or email. We'll try and help you the best that we can. We'll refer you to where you can get the best help possible. We'll offer you support and guidance. We've already helped over 45,000 families in all our programs in the last 20 years. And thank you, Jay, for hosting our 20th anniversary. Thank you again, and thank you to Kedem. And I want to wish everyone and Jay, your family, a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Thank you, and have a good evening.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
This is Jay Booksbaum, usually from the Grapevine, but here this week talking about mask and their weekend on May 5th and 6th. Be sure to support them and call them and make reservations. It's a great, great weekend. Ruchama, give them the contact information.
So our contact information is mask 718-758-0400. You can contact me at Ruchama, R-U-C-H-A-M-A, at maskparents.org, maskparents.org. This Shabbaton, Jay, you'll be joining us with your lovely wife. We will have guest speakers. It's a Shabbaton of chizuk, of song, of dance, just to give strength to parents that are struggling with any family member, have gone through it, or are going through it. There will be separate seating if you want. There's accommodations available. There will be men separate and women separate programs. There are going to be rabbis that are going to be announced. Our schedule after Pesach on our Family Matters show. Talkline Communications every Thursday night from 9 to 10, 6:20 a.m. Want to wish Jay, your family, and all our listeners, Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Thank you.
For tender meat, you need to set tough standards. That's why Gourmet Glutton never compromises on quality. And it's why shoppers know they can count on getting fresh, juicy, and mouth-wateringly delicious meats every single time. For Pesach and year-round, trust Gourmet Glut to deliver the very best-tasting meats at terrific prices. Gourmet Glut, always fresh, always gourmet. Gourmet Glut with stores in Borough Park, Cedarhurst, Woodmere, and Lakewood.
Are you looking for a meaningful Seder? Well, Park East Synagogue at 163 East 67th Street in Manhattan invites you to join them for the Sederma Monday, April 10th and Tuesday, April 11th. Minchas at 7:20 p.m., followed by Maariv Congregational Seder, led by Rabbi Benjamin Goldschmidt. It's only $100 for adults, $75 a child for members, $135 per adult, and $95 per child for non-members. For more information and to participate, call them at 212-737-6900. That's 212-737-6900. Online at parkysynagogue.org.